without a care and no concern. The colors, make me burn.
This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. And you're listening to the song Colors, that's spelled with the U, by the Interdisciples. It's a 9-person ensemble that includes musicians on theremin, piano, and Afro-Brazilian percussion. But the Interdisciples is not only music and musicians, there's also engineering and dance and surround sound and spoken word. As the group name suggests, it's interdisciplinary, and that's the final subject of our show today. Dr. Joy Yang is founder of the Interdisciplinary Institute in Champaign-Urbana. She has a Doctor of Musical Arts and Jazz Piano Performance from the U of I. She also did significant study in classical piano performance. And you might remember her previous appearance on the show back in May when she joined us for a mini-concert featuring the electronic instrument known as the theremin. Joy, welcome back to the 21st show. Good to talk with you again.
Thank you so much, Brian. I'm so glad to be back here.
So tell us more about the Interdisciplinary Institute. Where did the idea for this come from?
So the idea for this institute stemmed from this project, the Interdisciples, which you just had a listen to. And it's basically a hub, creative hub for self-exploration, discovery, and expression. It's a way to bring parts of the community as well as the university campus together to create new and emerging performance artworks.
So I understand that interdisciplinary programs can be a little hard to come by, at least here in the States. Talk about that.
Yes. So after I finished my doctoral research on interdisciplinary improvisation titled An Autoethnographic Approach to Interdisciplinary Improvisation, I really wanted to find an avenue to share all the exciting discoveries we made with others. And it was really hard to find an actual faculty position in interdisciplinary improvisation in America. So that's why we formed the Institute, which is STEAM, STEM plus art, science, technology, engineering, music, art, literature, film, dance, and even more, to bring people from all these different disciplines together to help facilitate their workshops and create the performances that they want to see.
Why do you think that is, that it's, this is, or maybe I should ask, is this position something that exists elsewhere outside of America, or is America unique in this regard and it's sort of spurning of this, in at least in official academia?
Yes, I found some in Europe, like in Germany, as well as in Australia, there is an interest in that. However, since I wanted to stay in the U.S. and continue teaching and performing here, this was the best way for me to carve this path for myself.
So talk, you mentioned your, can you say the title of your dissertation again?
Yes, An Autoethnographic Approach to Interdisciplinary Improvisation.
Yeah, maybe I recognize those as words, but maybe you can break them down for us and help us understand exactly what that means.
Yeah, it's a pretty long title. So basically, it's the three case studies that I worked on, including one led by Smitha Visheswara, physics professor at the U of I, as well as Jennifer Monson, dance choreographer, as well as dance professor at U of I, and the Interdisciples led by myself. So through these case studies, I was able to find that the three core principles for successful interdisciplinary improvisation, which means improvising across the various disciplines, were openness, communication, and empathy. And these were investigated from my own positionality as a theremin, performer, pianist, as well as being a queer Asian female in this field.
Interesting. So, all right, let me remind listeners we're talking with Joy Yang, who is a pianist and a thereminist and the founder of the Interdisciplinary Institute in Urbana. If you want to join us for this part of the show, you can do so at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Can you, I wonder, so part of your study was in jazz. You also spent a lot of time in classical performance. Can you draw the line? I think some listeners might hear the piece Colors that we heard at the beginning of the segment here and wonder how that relates back to, you know, Mozart, for example, or the more classical piano repertoire. Can you draw your path that went from there to where the sort of creative work you're doing today is?
Yeah, so through my intense classical study, I also analyzed lots of works by various classical composers during my doctoral and master's degrees here at the U of I. And through analyzing it, I was able to understand some of the core elements that created masterpieces and works. And then I tried to emulate that in my own compositions, whether in a classical or jazz style. And that's how I bring my own approach as a performer into my collaborations. And then my goal with the InterDisciples and now with the Interdisciplinary Institute is to help other people find their own creative processes so that they can discover themselves more deeply as well as work with others and create new works that we haven't seen before in this community.
That's interesting. So what could you maybe make that concrete for us? What would be an example of a sort of creative process that somebody might have used in the 1800s that you are modifying and taking inspiration from today?
So one good example would probably be the use of structure and form. For example, classical structures, let's say something as simple as ternary form, which is ABA, two different sections with one, two same sections with one different section in between. That's a concept that we could easily translate to, say, somebody's studies of crystal formations. There might be these complex kind of sequencing and axes happening, but we could break it down for the everyday audience by splitting it into three sections with two of them being the same.
Okay, so I can understand how collaboration between a musician and a dancer or a choreographer might come about, right? You're, at least in an academic setting, you're in the same, part of the university. You're often sharing performance or rehearsal spaces, perhaps. How do you bring a physicist? How does that relationship begin?
Well, I've always been curious about the sciences and engineering myself, so I tend to just naturally meet these people. So I guess it's just from going to events, lectures, different presentations on and off campus. And then I guess when we bring them together at the Institute, people can also meet other people that they wouldn't have met otherwise. But for me, it's just generally about going to as many things as possible.
You know, the stereotype of the scientist is, you know, somebody who may not be as involved in the arts, although I guess maybe that's not even right, right? Einstein played the violin famously. How receptive do you find people in sciences, in non-artistic fields, to this sort of collaboration?
I think one of the core principles was openness. So generally, like, if someone expresses interest and we explore it further, it kind of leads to something. So I think the right people tend to get attracted to us. But at the Institute, it is more of a performance-based focus. So we do bring all these disciplines together with the goal of producing a performance as well as, you know, documenting the creative process of each person. And my personal goal is that this process will be mutually enriching for each person in their disciplines, because we could always use more creativity or analytical thinking or scientific approaches, no matter which discipline we come from, as well as creating viable career paths for people of the future, especially with the emergence of AI. I do think that reinforcing these humanistic skills like collaboration and creativity are really is really what's going to help create more citizens of the future.
Well, that's, now you've brought up another interesting subject, which is AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning. How has that played a role in your creative pursuits as it's emerged into the mainstream in the past couple of years?
For me, it's mostly with my collaborators, for example, visual artists who do projections that have started incorporating AI into their artwork, as well as people who do sound and also use that. But so far, it's mostly been in those two realms.
How do you think of it in terms of music? I mean, does bigger picture, do you see AI potentially having a role in music, or is that going in the wrong direction?
I think for me, it's pretty unavoidable that it's already here with mainstream things like ChatGPT. It's just becoming part of our society. So I think as an artist, it's important to learn how to master these tools and use them in our own creative ways.
What do you think of some of the art we've seen produced by AI? Do you find it has artistic soul?
I think there are a lot of complicated issues and ways to look at this, but I think that when it's used respectfully and within the right guidelines, as well as with our own originality, I think once some of those issues can be worked through, that once we master it, it could be quite useful in the future.
And those issues, you mean like the idea of creative appropriation is not the right word. Theft, I guess, some people would say, right? Taking, if you're reading every book that's ever been written and somehow processing every piece of music that's ever been performed or written, you are taking a lot of other people's works, and it's, is it all derivative?
Yeah, so I think some of those things are, I would not personally be so aligned with how it's going, but I do think that it's quite unavoidable and that it's becoming more and more accessible.
All right, let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We're talking with Joy Yang about her Interdisciplinary Institute, which is a place where people from all different artistic, even scientific fields and backgrounds collaborate on projects. So you mentioned STEAM earlier, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, and music, and more people are trying to cram more concepts into that acronym, which started as STEM, I think. But talk about that. How do you balance those categories?
So our goal at the Institute is to facilitate lessons and workshops in specific fields. For example, eventually you can enroll in a dance class or a visual projection class, which we are planning to launch in October. So please do contact us if you want to be involved. But then our goal is to have small groupings, maybe just starting up with four or five people in different fields like visual arts, music, dance, science. And then I would facilitate these workshops over, let's say, 8 weeks to produce a performance together. And there's also a lot of interest in a theremin ensemble. So if you are interested in that, please contact me.
So if somebody out there is listening and maybe they're not a professional musician, but they do it as a hobby or an amateur pursuit, or maybe they're just a consumer of music and art, how do they interact with the Interdisciplinary Institute? What is there for them?
So mostly we present lessons, workshops, concerts, as well as events. So from what you suggested, Brian, I would just say if you're one of those people, please do sign up for our mailing list, which is on our website, www.interdisciplinaryinstitute.com. And once you send us your email, we'll be able to invite you to our concerts and workshops and events that you could participate in.
And there's a physical space, I understand, as well. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So I'm very excited today to announce. We haven't really publicly announced this yet, but we have just now
moved
to...
Well, it's just us. Don't worry. Nobody else is listening.
We've now moved to a much bigger location. So in January, we were in Urbana, which we love Urbana, at the Cohen Building. You might know about this historic space, which we loved, but we have been growing. So since July, we have now moved to the Orpheum Theater in Champaign.
Oh, wow. Is there going to be a lot of work involved with, or has there been a lot of work involved with making that space usable for you?
Yes, we have been working hard to get settled there, but we're pretty much ready to open up for the public for lessons and workshops and events starting in October.
All right. Joy Yang is a pianist, a thereminist, and an all-around creative guru. She is the creator and founder of the Interdisciplinary Institute. Joy, thanks so much for sharing your project with us today on the 21st show.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
That is all the time we have for the 21st show today and this week. Coming up next week, we're going to be looking at cash bail. It's been 1 year since Illinois eliminated cash bail here and basically said, unless you were a particularly dangerous individual, you should not be detained pre-trial. We're going to talk about how that's gone, what effect, if any, that has had on the crime rate in Illinois, and take a deeper dive into that situation. That's coming up on Monday's show. If you have questions about that or comments about anything we've talked about on our program, you can get in touch with us through our website, 21stshow.org. We've got our email address there, as well as our voicemail line if you want to leave us a voicemail, and every other way to contact us. You can also find links to our podcast or just look us up on Apple or Spotify, or YouTube. You can find us on YouTube by searching for Illinois Public Media. The 21st Show is produced by Anna Casey, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Coulson Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thank you for listening, and we will talk with you again next week.